Isaiah chapter 42. And this is how we begin. Behold my servant. Now, I'm going to tell you right away, we're talking about Messiah. Now, a lot of people don't agree with that. A lot of people say, no, this isn't Messiah. I believe it is, but a lot of people would say, no, it's not. Now, when we get to verse 19, true. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf is my messenger that I send? Now, yes, when we pass a certain verse or two, then you're going to notice now we're talking about Israel. But at the beginning of this chapter, which is where we'd like to start, this is Messiah that's being referred to. Make no mistake about it. I'll show you that in another moment or two. But behold my servant whom I uphold. I'm holding him up. Mine elect in whom my soul delights. Do you remember when Peter and James and John and Jesus all had gone up to the mountain? They call it the Mount of Transfiguration because he was transfigured. The word that we would use is metamorphosized. A metamorphosis took place. They saw him in his glory. When you read that in the Gospels, you're going to see that his clothes were brightly shining. He changed before the eyes of Peter and James and John. Jesus did. And his glory shone. And the language says that it wasn't his clothes that were glowing, but his body was glowing so bright that it was shining through his clothes, making it look like his clothes were glowing. It was his glory they saw. And Peter, nervous, didn't know what to do. I know how he feels. I get that way sometimes. So he talks when he doesn't know what else to do. Most pastors do too. When they don't know what else to do, they talk. And Peter did not know what to do. He was nervous. He's seeing Moses and Elijah. He's seeing Jesus glorified in his glory. And so he yells out, Lord, it's good that we're here. Maybe we should, we'll stay here. Let's make three tents. One for you, one for Moses and Elijah. We'll just live up here. That's kind of what he's yelling. Poor Jesus. You know, you can imagine having a guy like me around, or a guy like Peter, or a person like you. And Jesus is so calm, he turns around. But before Jesus can say anything, cloud comes overhead and God says, Peter. God interrupted Peter. God interrupted the Pope. Whoa. Well, Peter wasn't the Pope. Just joking. He says, Peter, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Be quiet, Peter, and listen to Jesus. What does God say? Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delights. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Well, behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. God says, behold my servant. Now in Matthew chapter 12, if you're taking notes, you can write Matthew 12, starting in verse 14. Then the Pharisees, they went out, and Jesus had been speaking. And they went out and they held counsel against him, how they might destroy him. They want to destroy Jesus. They can't beat his arguments. They can't really come up with something to shut him down. So they decide, we got to kill him. But when Jesus knew it, because he knew what they were thinking, the Bible says in verse 15 of Matthew 12, 15, he withdrew himself from there. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. And he charged them, or he gave them some orders, that they should not make him known. Don't tell anybody I healed you. Seems like an odd request, doesn't it? Now see, today, when someone heals, God heals, that the person that God uses usually starts a magazine with his picture on every page. And then she goes around teaching seminars all across the United States for $300 a pop and teaches you how to do it too. But But Jesus was so meek. He said, don't tell anybody. Just keep it to yourself and praise God. Why? Verse 17 says, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet in chapter 42. Saying this, behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him. Notice how we just read that. And he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Notice how we just read that in verse 1. How could you think it would be anyone else but the Messiah? It's quoted right directly about Jesus from the Gospel of Matthew. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Who are we talking about? Jesus. Jesus is the Messiah. Nobody else is. Jesus is the only way. There is no other way. If you have never accepted Jesus, no, you are not headed for heaven. And contrary to the advertisement you saw today, if any of you saw that little advertisement for that group in Sandpoint that says that hell is not eternal, hell is eternal. And you say, I don't really like this God. I don't like his attitude. I don't like the way he thinks. I don't like the way he looks. I'm telling you, wisdom is to humble yourself and to serve and follow the living God. Because you are going to leave here. So am I. Now, none of us know when, but we're all going to leave. It's going to happen to you. It's going to happen to me. It's going to happen to all of us. We just don't like to talk about it. We're going to go. Where are we going to go? You need to understand, according to Scripture, that it is not over when we leave here. According to Scripture, it just begins when we leave here. So the people that are committing suicide, looking for an easy way out, trying to get out from under all this suffering, all this pain, they're not getting out of a thing. And it's got to be a shock to step out of this body into suffering when you thought you were going to have it easy. Many people teach that you'll be reincarnated, come back as a kumquat or a paperclip or something, a red squirrel. You'll be endangered, but you'll be protected. And then you'll have it easy. Live around fruits and nuts just like you have here. Then it'll be okay. That's not going to happen to you. For it is appointed unto men once to die, Hebrews chapter 9. Once to die, but after this, the judgment. Jesus Christ is the answer for what you're into. Doesn't matter whether your heart is broken. Doesn't matter whether your plans have gone all wrong. It doesn't matter whether you're young and you think, oh my goodness, I've missed it. Or whether you think I'm getting old. No, Jesus Christ is the answer for all of us. And that's what God says. Behold, my servant. Stop and look at the Messiah. Just stop and look at him. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold. He's mine elect, in whom my soul delights. And he says, I'm well pleased. I have put my spirit upon him. Excuse me. We're talking about Messiah. If you'll recall in Isaiah chapter 11, we've done that already, but way, way back. In Isaiah 11, verses 1 and 2. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Who would that be? Jesus. That's right. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. It's talking about Messiah who's coming. What did we read in Isaiah 42? I have put my spirit upon him. What did we read in Isaiah 11? And the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. We are talking about Jesus Christ, who you saw baptized in the Gospels. And when he came out of the water, the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove came down and landed on him and stayed there. That was the sign to John the Baptist. When you see the Spirit in the form of a dove descend upon that individual and stay, you will know, that individual, that he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, that he's the Messiah. You'll know. And so John knew Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. The word also translated justice. You see, if you look around, in case you hadn't noticed, we're not getting a fair deal. We're just not getting a fair deal. Take a look at the legal system. The ones that are innocent are paying. The ones that are guilty many times walk free. I remember those days when I would arrest an individual for prostitution, go in and do the fingerprinting and do all these things, take the best care of her that you could, lock her in a cell, and then I would go and sit down. And for 3 hours, and I was one of the quick ones, because I'm a talker, to write the reports. Las Vegas Metro, they're really advanced. And instead of writing it out, they had transcribers and you could speak it into these tape recorders. So for 3 hours, I would do each report, get it all done. Make sure it's all correct, because if you make one mistake, then the lawyer's going to throw it out. And after that time, and I worked 10-hour shifts, so 3 hours of that was just booking in this young girl. And when I get back on the street, she's already been out there for 2.5 hours. Working again. And you can see how the police get frustrated because they're trying their best to do the job and you can't keep it. Just, we're not getting a fair deal. Crime is ridiculous. Violence. You saw the hostage situation today, probably. Some of you saw that. Nobody was killed. Praise God. There are missiles being traded back and forth from into Lebanon. And, of course, into Israel there. And you saw that today. People are coming and saying, my husband just ran off with the mailman. And my wife, she's gone and we can't find her. And she's now, I think she's living in a methamphetamine house down the street. And we can't get her out. And we're looking around. We're saying, it's just not fair. Things are falling apart. But the Bible says, the one that God has put his Spirit upon, the Messiah, he shall bring forth judgment, justice. You see, he's coming back, and he's going to rule the world. He will be the King of Kings. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will rule and reign over this earth for 1,000 years, and it's going to be made right. Until then, I'm sorry to say, those of you that are thinking it's going to get better, well, what does the song say? Wake up, little broomstick cowboy, or dream on. I'm sorry. Don't expect to see it get better than it is today. Expect to see it get worse and worse, because that's human nature. That's what will be. More crime, more ugliness, more hostages, more shootings, more violence, more whatever we've got. It's going to be, and iniquity will abound. And because iniquity will abound, the love of many will grow cold, the Bible says. Because it's going to be so ugly, many are just going to give up and shut down. Not you and me, though, huh? Because, behold, my servant. We're looking at Jesus. We're told in Hebrews, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We're told to be looking to him. And look what kind of guy he is. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. He is not, in his public ministry, going to make a spectacle of himself. He won't go on television. When he did some healings, he would say to the individuals, don't tell them. When he healed the lepers, he just said, now just quietly go and show yourself to the priest, just like the law of Moses says. Tell no man. When the man was who was born blind, when he was given his sight, Jesus says, go and tell nobody. And of course, he turned around and screamed it to everybody. Hey, guys, I can see. Who are you? I got to tell you. And there he goes. Jesus' heart was humble. He was meek. He didn't come here to make a show like everybody seems to think. I see now there's going to be a special coming up on Jesus. I have no idea what it'll be about, and I don't have time to watch it. So if you're not busy enough, call me. If you've got time to watch it, we'll fix that. Because I'm sure it's not going to paint him the way he is. It's Hollywood, know what I mean? And for those, I'll just throw in a little promo for the cults class that we're going to do coming up. Hollywood is the only kind of wood that a wizard's wand can be made of. Did you know that? Like Merlin the magician and the wizard and all the wizards and the people that want to study to be wizards. That's the only kind of wood that you can use. It's magical. It's called Hollywood. Now you see where the title comes from and why they call it the Dream Factory and the Magic Store. They're just building your reality is what they're doing. That's all. But Jesus, he's different than we think. I remember reading, and I'll go back. If you want, you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. Jesus says about himself in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and following. He said, "Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now that is a promise. That's a guarantee. If you would come to Jesus, you say, "Ah, lying fool. I've been with him years now and I ain't rested. Man, my life's falling apart. I'm hating it." I can promise you, if that's the case, you really haven't been walking with Jesus. You haven't been listening to him. You haven't been doing what he has said. You've been playing your own game. Part in, part out. You know, that's the Christian hokey pokey, isn't it? Put your right leg in, put your right leg out. I mean, no, you got to stick in there. Either you're going to be all the way in or all the way out. And so many people tell us, "Oh, I'm a Christian. I've been Christian for years, but the Bible doesn't work." Oh, yes, it does. It's just that the truth is, you're not doing what he says. You're probably just doing your own thing or doing what you want. But read this. "Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." Notice you're going to be yoked in just like an oxen with Jesus. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." You got to learn of me, he says. "For I am meek," excuse me, "and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls." Now, do you notice, those of you that are worn out, that no matter how much rest your physical body gets, have you noticed you're still worn out? You say, "You getting enough sleep?" Yeah. "Well, are you doing okay?" Yeah. But for some reason, man, there is no rest on the inside. When there's no rest on the inside, you can't get rested. But Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." There's real peace, no matter what your physical body feels like. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Notice he said that, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." Let me go back and read to you Isaiah 42, 2. "He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street." Jesus Christ went all through the land of Israel. And he looked for people who were hurting. He met that woman at the well. Interesting conversation if you'd like to read that in the Gospel of John. He meets this woman at the well. And she's pretty arrogant to begin with. She's got a Samaritan attitude because she is a Samaritan. And he said, "Could I have a drink, please?" And she said, "You're speaking to me, a Samaritan and a woman?" You know, pretty lousy attitude. She could have said no and just dropped it at that. But she had to get smart. And he was there waiting for her. He says, "Could I have water?" "You're speaking to me?" And he said, "If you knew who I was, you would ask me for living water." And she goes, "How are you going to get it, man? This is a deep well. You don't even have a rope." He says, "You don't understand, woman. See, the water that I would give you is living water. You drink from the water that I give you, you will never thirst again." And he was talking about her heart. you'll have that peace that you need. And she said, I'll take that. Well, I'm sick and tired of coming out here. A lot of men ought to be doing that. I'll take it. Give me some of that water. She wasn't understanding. I don't want to come back and draw more water. I'm worn out as it is. I'll take some of that. And he said to her, he could see, we're getting nowhere with this girl. She's not grabbing. So he looks at her and he says, I'll tell you what, go get your husband. And she looks at him a little embarrassed and she says, I don't have one. And he said, boy, you said it right there. You've had five husbands and the man you're living with now is not your husband. Okay, now the whole conversation changed. She instantly dropped her attitude. And she said, I perceive you're a prophet. And she started calling him Lord. See, it doesn't take much. But you see, Jesus was waiting for her. And he did it quietly. And when she ran off to tell the whole town, the disciples came back and none of them asked him, what are you doing talking to that lady? I mean, they were questioning in their own minds, but nobody dared say anything because they're learning. Look, Jesus knows what he's doing. He better not push it. Excuse me. The disciples didn't even ask. And you know what? He didn't tell them. He could have said, just talk to this lady, man. She got saved. She's going to witness to the whole city. Watch this. Bunch of them will come to the Lord. Stick with me, dudes. No, instead he just calmly never said nothing. Why? Because, see, he shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. You know, when they came to arrest him, on the night that he was betrayed, and they came to arrest him, probably, chances are good there were 500 to 600 people who came out to arrest him. Bunch of soldiers and a bunch of townspeople. Some say there were 600 soldiers plus civilians. But 500 to 600 people. Now you think about this. He had been in public ministry for 3 years. A little over 3 years. And out of those hundreds who came out to arrest him, the only one who knew which one to get was Judas, who had been one of the disciples for the last 3 years. Not anyone in that crowd could have showed you who Jesus was. Now you have to let that sink in for a moment. Because that's just different than you and I picture it. I know it is. You don't have to agree with me. You still don't think that way. You thought he glowed in the dark. You thought he was 9 foot tall. You thought everybody's going to know who God is. I mean, God's walking around. You're bound to recognize him. Nobody knew who he was. Judas had to walk up and kiss him on the cheek as a greeting. And he said, the one that I give the greeting to, that's the one you want to arrest. And you'd be going, man, he's been speaking in public for over 3 years. You think that somebody would recognize him? No, it just wasn't that big a deal. Notice, he didn't make a show of himself. And so that's what the Bible says, or means when it says, he shall not cry nor lift up nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. Now notice verse 3 says, a bruised reed shall he not break. You go down to the little streams, or you go down to the River Jordan, or go down to the Sea of Galilee. They call it a sea. We know it's a lake, but they thought they had found the Mediterranean Sea, so they called it the sea. And then they went a few more miles down across to the west, and they found out, oopsie, there's the sea. But they still kept the title Sea of Galilee. We know it's a lake, but you go down to that lake, you'll find the reeds. They grow there. A reed, you've seen them. They grow all sorts of different lengths. And there's a little bit of strength to them. And they would use them for musical instruments. They would use them. You could take some of the sturdier ones, cut them short, and sharpen them. And you could use them to give shots and things. Could really make them sharp. So sometimes they would use them as little cattle prods or sheep prods or whatever prods you wanted. But a bruised reed, all that means to you and I is you take a reed and it's broken. Broken to the point where it looks like it's going to rip apart. It's broken so severely that it looks like it's going to fall apart. Notice what the Bible says about him. A bruised reed shall he not break. It's already broken in half. And Jesus comes along and finds this woman at the well. And she is a bruised reed is what she is. She's broken in half. She's a mess. just like you and I. This lady's a mess. She's a little embarrassed about it. She doesn't talk about it. But as soon as he brings it up, she's now knowing, dude, this guy knows more than I thought he would know. And she's a mess. Been married 5 times and now living with a guy? You can figure that's probably not going to work out well. A bruised reed shall he not break. Notice he doesn't finish the job like most Christians try to do today. You notice he will take care of that. You say today, man, my life is broken. It's a broken mess. I'm thinking about giving up. My life is broken and everything is falling apart and I'm not happy with none of it. Then the Bible says, Jesus walking through here and his presence is here tonight. He promised to be here. He would not finish you off. He will bind you up. Now also, it goes on to say, a smoking flax shall he not quench. Flax, a flax is kind of a little delicate plant with a bluish kind of flower to it. And maybe you've seen things burn. Maybe you've tried to start fires here up in the Northwest trying to start a fire. Your house is burned down that fast, but when you try to put a fire in the fireplace, you can't seem to... You notice that? Or is it just me? I use dry everything. I mean, you could use bellows. I don't care. You could use a flamethrower. It won't light. And you turn around and you drop a match that's not even lit, and your whole house goes up. And you think, man, one of them oxymorons, you know, like jumbo shrimp. I don't know how it happens. But you see, what this means is that little bitty plant, if it's smoldering, a little fire, you can't even see a flame, but there's a tiny, tiny bit of evidence that it's going out. That there might have been a little fire there, and it's actually going out. It's smoking, there's no flame, and there's probably even no reddish color. It's going out. Well, look what the Bible says. He shall not quench that. What does that mean? That means Jesus Christ is a good shepherd. He is kind to you. He loves you. I know you don't think so because you've been wanting higher wages or something. But see, he loves you. And you know, what we're reading is wherever there is the least evidence, even if the flax is smoking, there's no ember there, but there's a little bit of smoke. Wherever there's the least evidence of a heart's desire to turn to God, or even to turn back to God, he strengthens and encourages that and leads it on into full assurance of faith. That's a long way to say. You say, man, I'm a Christian, but you know, I'm burnt out. There's barely any smoke left. Then what the Bible says is God finds you, sees that condition, and instead of putting you out because you're a waste of time, he fans that and gets it back into a roaring flame. I know you're thinking, man, I give up. You don't have to do a thing. You just have to rest. Because, see, he would not break a bruised reed. He would not quench smoking flax. He wouldn't put that out. He shall bring forth justice and judgment unto truth. You can count on Jesus. That's who you should be counting on. Instead, you're saying, I trusted you. How many times have you had somebody say that? Man, I trusted you to do this job and you let me down. Man, that's it. I trusted you to get this done and it's not done. You Christians, and we all got it. And here we go. Instead of saying, Lord, I'm trusting you. I don't put my trust in anybody on this earth. Because it's not fair to them to put that kind of pressure on them. But you put your trust in Jesus Christ, who never, no matter how broken you are, he would never finish that job. He will strengthen you. But he would never, no matter how burnt out you are in your spirituality, you say, man, I don't even know if I'm safe. If there's a bit of smoke, he'll fan that thing into a fire. He'll bring you to himself. And you notice, he is a good shepherd. Ezekiel 34, verses 15 and 16. I will feed my flock. God promises you, He's going to take care of you. And I will cause them to lie down. That means when a sheep will lie down, they're at rest, they are at peace, they know they're all right. I'll cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away. I will bind up that which was broken, and I will strengthen that which was sick, but I will destroy the fat and the strong, and I will feed them with judgment. Notice how the shepherd knows those that are his, and he's going to take care of you. He says, I will seek that which is lost. And Jesus tells that about the shepherd who has 100 sheep and 99 of them are here, but one of them has wandered off. He goes to get that one. And the Bible says he carries that one back. He doesn't beat it up first like many people are teaching. He brings that one back in. Isaiah 40 verses 10 and 11 says the same idea. Behold, the Lord will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. And he shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. So he's going to be sure that when you are walking, if you have to walk a little slower than some of the other ones around you, he's going to be sure that you do not get left behind at all. The responsibility of the shepherd is to make sure that all the sheep get back to the sheepfold. All of them. And some of them are in pretty beat up condition because it's rough out there. But the shepherd is not going to run to the sheepfold and say, okay, that one's struggling back there. Oh, well, if he doesn't make it, tough. I'm closing the door at 3:00. No, he comes out there and he makes sure that you make it. And he'll carry some. And there have been times in your life when you have felt broken and worn out, and you've laid down and you thought, man, I can't take another step. And all the time you were still moving because he carried you through. And he will always do that. That's what the Bible has just told you. He'll always do it. And he's going to bring forth justice, is what the Bible says. Judgment unto truth. John 5:30. I can of my own self, Jesus says, do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Jesus called himself a servant of the Father. Although I and the Father are one, he said, I do whatever the Father tells me to do. Now, is your attitude that way? Whatever my Father says, that's what I do. He says, I don't seek my own will. How many of us are guilty of seeking our own will? Yeah, I'm a Christian, but I just want to do this. I'm a Christian, and I serve God, but I want to walk over there. And then when we walk over there and we get ourselves beaten, we're mad at God. Who does he think he is? If he's a God of love, how come he let me get all beat up over there? Talked to a young man and he said, I am angry with the Lord. I said, why? Because I'm hooked on cigarettes. I said, and it's his fault? Well, he could have stopped me. That's true. You want us to do anything for you, like cut your food? You want us to eat it for you too? Taste it for you? Give us a kick if it please your majesty. Fool. You think God did this to you? Hello. God didn't do that to you. God is the one that said, man, follow me. Take my yoke on you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You'll find rest unto your souls. And you're an idiot, man. You're going out in the streets and doing drugs and doing this, and then mad at him because he left you. Notice how God doesn't grab you by the hair and just carry you home every time you're in a place you don't belong. Put me out. No. I told you, walk with me. No, I don't want to walk with you. And then as soon as I'm in trouble, why did you do this to me? Why are you? You don't love me. You never love me. Get out of here. And God's just going, oh, Lord. Go stand in the corner, Bob. And then I get mad. Who do you think? What corner? Right? He cares about what you're doing. He is going to see to it that you're all right. Those of you who say, I am yours. Those of you that are not his, all bets are off. Destruction is coming. You have a chance to turn and come to Jesus. And he would not ever turn you away. But it's got to be something in your own heart. It's got to be real. It can't just be this hokey pokey Christianity. You got to get in or you got to get out. And if you get mad at me for that, fine. Because if you're in heaven, you'll be happy again. You'll like me there. And that's good enough for me. I have three friends here now, so I shouldn't brag, should I? A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth, or justice. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged. I like that, man. He will not, that means literally, he's not going to grow weary in serving, and he will never give up or be defeated. He's not going to fail nor be discouraged. He is never going to give up on me. Never. And he's not going to lose this one. And he said, all that the Father has given to me, I will get them there. And if you're in his hand, you're going to get there. It might be a bumpy, rough trip. And we can all, we're learning, we can make it as hard on ourselves as we want. But the truth is, he's going to get me there. He's going to get you there. And that's what we're reading when we read this. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Now, when you read that, the isles, that's supposed to include the most remote parts of the earth. When he says the isles, he's talking about the farthest places and the farthest reaches of the earth you can think of. Then the Lord said, then thus saith God the Lord, verse 5, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that gives breath unto the people on it. Notice, he's letting you know that each breath you and I have, he's giving it to us. He can withhold it at any time. Now that's a very nice God, because there are many people who spit in his face. Who he'll say, walk this way, and they'll spit in his and walk that way. And he will still give them the breath to breathe. And still give them the strength to steal. Give them the health to disobey. He gives them that. And at any moment, he could take it away. That's a God of mercy. And we read this. He that gives breath unto the people on it, and the spirit to them that walk there. In other words, life itself. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. Remember, Jesus is called the light of the world, John 8:12. Jesus then spoke Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He says, I the Lord, have called you in righteousness, will hold your hand and keep you and give you for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to any false gods, graven images. He says, I'm God. I will share my glory with no one. And he says this, I've sent you to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and then that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Remember Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Jesus quoted some of these verses right here when he was on the earth. Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good news unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Notice, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. What's he all about? Some of you are fighting against him. You are choosing to dishonor him and to disobey. And through it all, he is telling you, I'm here because I love you. You come to me, I'll take care of you. I'm here because I want to hold you up. I'll be right there. I'll bind up your broken heart. I'll take care of your needs. Come and follow me. Listen to me. Trust in me. I care. See, God loves you so much that he sent his only begotten son. It is time to begin to obey the Lord. That's what we need to do. If you go through the rest of the chapter, you'll see God will tell you that he knows the end from the beginning, and only God does. And you'll see he begins to talk about Israel, his people, his servant Israel, how they've blasphemed, how they've turned from him, how they've become disobedient, how he says because of their sins they will be blind. Because of their sins, they will be blind. They won't even recognize their own salvation. They won't recognize Messiah because they choose to disobey and walk away. But here's what's good as you get to the end of the chapter, as you read through it all. That's why God sent Messiah, to open their eyes to any who would be willing. He came to open the eyes, and he showed you that by opening the eyes of people who were literally blind. And then he said to the Pharisees, if you were blind, you'd have an excuse. But since you say you see, you have no place to hide, no excuse. Jesus Christ did all that to show you he was Messiah. To show you that he's keeping his word. You can trust him. I know things have gone wrong in your life probably just this week. But the truth is, nothing enters into my life or yours without first going through God. Nothing happens to you without first going through God. Meaning, he'll let nothing in my life except what he knows he wants for my good and for his glory. Nothing is going to happen to me except what he allows in. Even when he lets Satan attack, Satan is on a leash, and Satan can only go so far. So I have nothing to fear. You have nothing to fear. Now, as we close, what we're going to do is we're going to share communion together. So we share communion together. This is your chance and mine to confess what's in there that doesn't belong. To get your walk back in line the way it should be. Those of you that are Christians, to turn your life back over to him. Maybe you have taken it into your own hands and really wrecked it up over the last 6 months or the last 6 days or the last 20 years. Maybe you're willing tonight to turn it back over to the one who can handle it. To the one who says, I'll take care. I'll do it. Let's bow our heads together.